Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the powerfully prophetic book of Daniel. Follow along as Pastor Steve shows us the stunning precision of God's prophecies. At the same time, we'll see how God equipped and protected Daniel to walk in integrity and power while living in the midst of the most powerful and enticing culture the world had ever seen. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
And the number is 666. What is six the number of? It's the number of incompletion, or specifically man. Seven is the number of completion. Six is one in front of seven is six, incompletion, if you will. And guess what day man was made on? Day six. So to a large degree, six might be the number of man. And what does the number three represent? It represents atonement or redemption. So six, man, three times is kind of a blasphemy in and of itself. Man or a man is going to save you. And of course, that's blasphemy. Now back to the book of Daniel, chapter 3. Now we're at verse 8. Do you see along with me that we've got the fiery furnace? We've got the statue. You better bow down. We've got the 666 rolling. And if you don't do what this Nebuchadnezzar fellow says, you're going to go and burn in the fiery furnace. Well, let's see how this plays out. Verse 8. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, these were the wise people that have a lineage that goes all the way back to 1600 BC and Hammurabi. And in front of Hammurabi, going all the way to Nimrod and the plains of Shinar. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward. They carried a lot of weight in the society and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Verse 10, you, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, psaltery, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 12. You know what? There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Can you think of somebody else? Daniel. Why isn't Daniel mentioned? Because he's probably not there. If you remember back in chapter 2, because he was able to discern the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar realizes that God is on that young man, and he raises him to practically second in command of the whole empire. Likely and logically, Daniel's not here because he's probably fulfilling his office of state. But keep your Jesus glasses on. Notice that he's not there. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are, O king, they have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set it up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was in a rage, in a fury, and he gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is this true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It would appear that King Nebuchadnezzar sort of liked these guys. And they probably had a bit of a pretty good relationship. Is this true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, lyre, psaltery, and all kinds of music, and you fall down and you worship the image which I have made, well then good. You still have a chance to fix this. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? He's meaning that in rhetorical fashion. I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they know the real and true answer. Oh, there's a God, all right. Hey, notice something. Nebuchadnezzar is not forbidding them to worship Jehovah. He's not saying, you have to stop worshiping your God and worship mine, because it seems that it was a practice of the king when he would conquer all these places, that he would allow the people to continue to worship their indigenous God. Only you had to worship your God and my God. He did that with all the people. But now he's saying, go ahead and worship your God, but you'd better worship me also. Can I paraphrase? The devil often whispers this to us. Go ahead. Go ahead and worship your God on Sunday. I'm not saying don't do that. That doesn't bother me at all. That's what the devil says. However, you just be sure that you will worship me on Friday nights at the club, at the bar after work, or maybe on pay-per-view or online when no one is watching. I don't care if you go to church all you want. You going to church doesn't bother me. As long as you still check in with me on all of these other places. Because the devil knows that will keep us diluted enough in our passion. And that's all he needs. Go to church all you want. Sing as loudly as you would like. Lift those hands as high as you can. I don't care if you worship your God, even the true God. But just make sure you check in with me the rest of the week. I think that's a pretty powerful model. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, don't worry about the second chance. Because, verse 17, if that is the case, then our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from any old burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if he doesn't, if you chunk us in there and we burn up, then let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Whether the true God delivers us supernaturally or not, he's still the true God. And we applaud these three young men. Well done, guys. Well done. They're not doubting God's ability. More importantly, they are submitting to his authority. Why am I taking a little time here? I think there's a model of prayer going on. Right in your margin here, Hebrews 11, verse 33, that these boys are mentioned in the hall of faith for what they're doing here. I think this is a huge model for our prayer time. What do you mean? Lord, whether you show up in a supernatural way to my prayers, or if you don't, I know that you are the real God. Can I rephrase that? Lord, not my will be done, but yours. Verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Another model of the Antichrist. What does the Antichrist do with the first half of the tribulation? They're buddies. You're our Messiah. Yes, I am. And they have this wonderful working relationship until they don't bow down and worship. And then what happens to the face of the Antichrist? His face will change. About 1 in 3 Jews, it's estimated, died in the first Holocaust. Zechariah says, when the Antichrist, by the time he gets done, 2 out of every 3 Jews will have perished. His face will change. Going on, he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it usually was heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind, circle that, bind or tie, shackle, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. These were mighty men, you guys. These were valiant soldiers. These were the best of the best. They were the SEAL team. Verse 21, and then these men were bound, there it is again, in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments. So they were tied up pretty tight. It wasn't just their hands. It was practically from head to toe. And they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed the guys who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's a hot fire. But it's also, again, a model. And we read that in Revelation chapter 13, that those guys that are doing the bidding of the Antichrist will themselves be killed by the same method that they are killing others. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, and there it is a third time, bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So get the picture. The guys that are chunking them in, they get burned to ashes. But the three guys that are in the middle, what's going to happen to them? Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose in haste and he spoke, saying to his counselors, wait a minute, wait a minute. Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, oh yeah, sure enough, there was three. And I love this. Verse 25. Well, look, I see four men. What's the next word? Loosed. What happened to their bonds? They got burned up. And in a minute, when they come out of this fire, they didn't even smell like smoke. The only thing that burned in this fiery furnace was their what? Their shackles. And by the way, if you're perking up and listening, Harvest Family, that's a good one to take note of. Fiery furnaces happen, amen? They really do. But if we see the fourth, if we see Jesus in the midst, and we hang in, and we don't jump out of the oven before we're done cooking, then the promise is, the only thing that will truly be burnt away is the what? Shackles. That's why we can't jump out of the oven before we're done. How many of you really don't like that particular teaching? I would really like to get out of here. Lord, how long has it been now? It's been a couple hours, a couple days. Lord, it's been a week. It's been a month. And it's really hot in this oven. Can I get out now, Lord? He may say, I can let you out. And if you really want, I will. But don't you want to stay in until that which is binding you up is burned away? Now here's the entire point of the story. This is a model of Israel. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego are a model of the nation of Israel. When they embrace the Antichrist as the Messiah, is that a significant mistake? Absolutely. They rejected Jesus Christ and embraced that murderous fella. Boy, do they have it backwards. And they don't recognize who the real Son of God is until when? Until they're in the midst or the middle of the fiery furnace. Just like Jesus said would happen. The 3.5 years in, the Antichrist changes his stripes. Ding! The light bulb goes on and they go, you are so not the Messiah. This is a model for Israel. The Antichrist, whom they thought was their Messiah or their king, Nebuchadnezzar, turns out to be a horrible counterfeit. And his face turns, and he tries to destroy Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the tribulation, the nation of Israel. And it's in the midst of the 7-year tribulation that Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego see the Son of God. And I bring up the question one last time. Where is Daniel in this scenario? He's not there. If Nebuchadnezzar is a model of the Antichrist, the furnace is a model of the Great Tribulation, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are a model of the people of Israel, who might Daniel be a model of? The church. And where is the church, y'all? It's not there. How cool is that? Verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and he spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps and the administrators and the governors gathered together, and they saw that these men on whose body the fire had, say it with me, no power. Beloved, the fire has no power to destroy you because God is going to see you through. Well, then why this trial? Why this fiery furnace? Because God is breaking the bonds, that's why. And you will see Him. I have never ever seen God so clearly and so distinctly as I have when I'm in the midst of a dire need of it. Boy, does He show up. And they saw that these men on whose body the fire had no power, the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. In fact, the smell of fire was not even on them. And the only thing that got burned was their bonds. Whew. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. Is he blown away by this whole event? He sure is. He's freaking out. And I wrote in my Bible, an angry, self-absorbed, headed for hell, non-believer who is the king of his own life, saw Jesus as well. And he saw Jesus because of what those three boys were doing. Hey, Harvest. Yes, the fiery furnace is burning off the bonds in your life. And you know what else God is doing with that fiery furnace? He's allowing all the kings of their little kingdoms that are around you who are angry, anxious to watch as you see Jesus in the midst of your fire. They will see Him too. People are watching. And they just want something of substance. They've heard all the television and the Dr. Phils and the Oprahs. And they've read the books. They've taken the seminars. By and large, most are saying, why do I still have the hole in my heart? And then God allows you, like a Job. Was Job the problem? No, he was a good guy and he was righteous. But because of what Job was going through, there was a whole lot of people watching him, including the three guys that come and sit on the ash heap with Job. Didn't you do something, Job? Something? No, I swear. Well, then what's all this for? And by the time it was all done, not only Job's friends, but those of us who read the book of Job to this day gather much comfort. Because that's also the economy of God. He's allowing the stuff to get burned off of you. Oh, and by the way, the Lord is making certain that there's somebody in your life watching, like a Nebuchadnezzar. Watch this guy fold. Watch him go down. I mean, I would go down. Let's watch what he does. And then you don't fold. Wow. I see something in you. Yeah. Jesus Christ. And you can have him too. Verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." This is Nebuchadnezzar saying this. Verse 29, "And therefore I make a decree that all people, or that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut to pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." I'm thinking, seriously? He might have had a conversion experience here. We don't know. He could be. In chapter 4 next week, we will see that he is not only saved, but he's going to be completely converted. I wrote my margin, "Seriously, Nebuchadnezzar, your God is so God, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'll kill anybody who says he ain't." Not exactly God's heart, nor God's method, amen? This is another powerful principle of God's kingdom, you guys. Tuck this one away because it's important. Those people that are convinced, perhaps even saved, are not always converted right away. God has patience with brand new believers. Should we? Yeah. And then finally, verse 30, "Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." Amen? It's a model of Israel seeing Jesus as their Messiah. When? In the midst or the middle of the Great Tribulation. Thank you for Daniel chapter 3. And for some of us tonight, Lord God, maybe the fiery furnace is not an academic exercise whatsoever. There might be some of your precious sons and daughters in this room or within the sound of my voice, that their fiery furnace is very real. It has faces on it. It has perhaps a prognosis stapled to it. It has financial numbers chained to it. It's not academic for some in this room. The fiery furnace is real. And I pray, Lord God, that tonight you have given a great understanding, perhaps, and hopefully a wonderful encouragement. He wouldn't have let the fiery furnace in your life touch you unless he knew if you stay in it, looking for Jesus in the midst, then your bondages are going to fall away. And there's some folks around your life that are watching. And like Nebuchadnezzar, they're the king of their own little planet, and they're angry and distraught and aggravated. And they are burning in their dissatisfaction. What are you going to do that's any different? They haven't told you that in so many words, but it's on their heart. And when they see you seeing Jesus in the midst, that just might be what they need. Lord, may we all be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You may deliver me supernaturally from this fiery furnace, or you may not. You may not deliver me in the way that I thought you might. But whether you do or whether you don't, I will trust you. In Jesus' name, and all of us in the fire said, amen.
You've been listening to the powerfully prophetic Book of Daniel with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Daniel continues to show us that, because God so obviously knows and guides the future of nations, He certainly knows and guides our future as well. What a great comfort that we may not know what the future holds, but Daniel shows us who does hold the future. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.